Washington. The Supreme Court is preparing to issue what legal scholars are calling the most significant separation of powers ruling since the Steele seizure case of 1952. At issue, whether the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, a statute signed in 1977 and never before used for tariffs, gives the president authority to impose sweeping duties on imported goods from countries around the world. The case, Learning Resources, Incra v. Trump, consolidated with Trump ver. VOS Selections, spell out VOS, Incos, was argued over 3 hours on November 5, 2025. As of mid-February 2026, 103 days have passed without a decision, significantly exceeding the historical average for expedited cases. The next scheduled bench session is February 20th, and the ruling is expected no later than the end of the court's term in June. The financial stakes are staggering. Based tariffs have generated $133.5 billion in revenue through mid-December 2025, accounting for 60% of all duties collected that year. Tariff revenue has soared more than 300% since the tariffs took effect. If the court strikes them down, that entire sum could be subject to refund, affecting more than 34 million entries of goods and over 300,000 importers. What is and how it got here? President Jimmy Carter signed into law on December 28, 1977. Congress enacted it to rein in executive emergency authority after committee investigations revealed the United States had been in a continuous state of emergency for over 40 years under the predecessor statute, the Trading with the Enemy Act of 1917. Congress passed the National Emergencies Act in 1976 and in 1977 to impose new constraints. Permits the president to declare a national emergency in response to threats originating outside the United States and then to investigate, block, regulate, direct and compel, nullify, void, prevent, or prohibit various economic transactions. The statute does not mention tariffs, duties, taxes, or revenue raising. Since 1977, presidents have invoked 77 times, exclusively for asset freezes, sanctions, and trade embargoes against hostile foreign actors, such as Iran, North Korea, and designated terrorist organizations. No president used to impose tariffs until February 2025, when President Trump announced duties on Canada, Mexico, and China, citing national emergencies related to fentanyl trafficking and illegal immigration. On April 2, 2025, he announced additional Liberation Day reciprocal tariffs under the same authority, a 10% global baseline plus country-specific rates reaching up to 50%. Who brought the case, the lead plaintiff, Learning Resources, Inc., is an Illinois-based educational toy manufacturer founded in 1984 by the family. CEO Rick, a third-generation family member, filed suit alongside sister company Hand to Mind Inc., which supplies materials for and K-12 schools. The companies employ approximately 500 people in the United States. Additional parties include VOS Selections, spell out VOS, Inc., a wine importer, and multiple U.S. states, including Oregon. The case moved rapidly through the courts. The U.S. Court of International Trade ruled the tariffs unconstitutional in May 2025, holding that does not authorize tariffs. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit affirmed on August 29, 2025, ruling that President Trump exceeded his authority and that establishing tariffs is a power controlled only by Congress. The constitutional question, Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, states that the Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises. The framers regarded this authority as the most important of the authorities held by the federal government. The case asks two questions. Does this language authorizing the president to regulate importation include the power to impose tariffs? And if so, is that delegation of taxing power constitutional? Challengers argue the answer to both is no. The Federal Circuit emphasized that Congress deliberately excluded tariff-specific language from every genuine tariff delegation in federal law uses explicit terms such as tariff, duty, or tax, contains none of them. After President Nixon imposed a 10% import in 1971, Congress responded by enacting Section 122 of the Trade Act of 1974, which granted narrow, time-limited tariff authority, capped at 15% for 150 days, rather than expanding emergency powers. The government counters that regulate is broad enough to include tariffs, citing United States Vrijden International, Inc., 1975, which held that the predecessor statute's similar language included tariff authority. The government also invoked the donut hole argument. If permits complete trade embargoes against Iran and North Korea, it would be illogical to exclude the lesser power to impose tariffs. Oregon Solicitor General Benjamin offered a pointed rebuttal. Embargoes block transactions entirely, while tariffs generate revenue and function as taxes. It's a different kind of pastry, told the court, what the justices signaled at oral argument. A majority of justices expressed skepticism toward the government's position during the November 5th argument, according to AXIS. The skeptics crossed ideological lines. Chief Justice Roberts suggested that authorizing one person to impose tariffs on any product from any country in any amount constitutes a major question requiring explicit congressional authorization under West Virginia v. EPA 2022. Justice, a Trump appointee, warned against a one-way ratchet toward gradual but continual accretion of power in the executive branch, adding, "The power to reach into the pockets of the American people is just different," according to. Justice, also a Trump appointee, pressed for a single example where regulate importation has been used to impose tariffs and raised concerns. Justice highlighted that Congress deliberately removed powers from the Trading with the Enemy Act when drafting. Justice emphasized the constitutional requirement that taxation pass both chambers. Justice Jackson questioned why regulate should be read broadly when Congress supplied specific terms like investigate, block, direct, and compel. Justices Thomas and showed some sympathy for executive power arguments. Justice pressed both sides but appeared more open to the government's position. Analysts project a 6-3 or 7-2 majority ruling against the government, with justice as the most uncertain swing vote. What happens if the court strikes down the tariffs? A ruling against the government would drop the average statutory tariff rate from 16.1% to 10.4%, according to J.P. Morgan Asset Management. More than 1,000 companies have already filed refund claims, and the Court of International Trade issued an administrative order in December, staying all complaints pending the Supreme Court's decision. The Tax Policy Center estimates a ruling would save the average household approximately $1,200 in toothaches. And reduce taxes by $1.4 trillion over 10 years. The practical impact, however, may be smaller than those figures suggest. The administration is expected to reimpose tariffs quickly under alternative authorities, most likely Section 122 of the Trade Act of 1974, up to 15% for 150 days. Other options include Section 301, targeting specific countries, and Section 232, national security tariffs requiring a 270-day Commerce Department investigation. J.P. Morgan expects probably very little impact on overall tariffs due to swift replacement measures, though it notes a relief rally is possible. U.S. Trade Representative Jameson told CNBC the court is taking its time given the enormous stakes. The arguments for upholding the tariffs, the administration argues that has been used by presidents of both parties for nearly five decades, and that foreign policy emergencies are properly delegated to executive authority. Solicitor General contended that provides sufficient boundaries through its emergency declaration requirement and congressional reporting provisions, and that Congress can reclaim delegated power through joint resolution, as it did with the 2023 coronavirus emergency termination. Supporters note the tariffs have generated an estimated $1.8 trillion in projected 10-year revenue and serve as a key tool for pressuring China on the trade practices, fentanyl trafficking, and other national security concerns. Why this case reaches beyond tariffs? The ruling will set a precedent for the scope of presidential emergency powers across all policy domains. Neil Eats, arguing for the challengers, warned the court, "We will never get this power back if the government wins this case." Justice noted that Congress would need a veto proof to override presidential tariffs, effectively making the delegation irrevocable. The Center for Justice, an organization that describes itself as an independent, nonpartisan law and policy organization, argued in a brief that both and the National Emergencies Act were enacted specifically to rein in presidential emergency powers, not expand them. The Senate weighed in on October 30, 2025, passing a 51-47 resolution opposing the global reciprocal tariffs. Republican sends McConnell, Paul, Collins, and joined Democrats, signaling bipartisan concern. The National Constitution Center has compared the case to the biggest separation of powers controversy since Sheet and Tube Cummings v. 1952, when the court struck down President Truman's seizure of steel mills during the Korean War. Small and medium-sized businesses have borne a disproportionate share of the burden. The tariffs have been described as sucking the life out of small businesses because of the instability they create in supply chain planning, according to CNBC. Global ocean container volumes to the United States have fallen 14% year over year, and U.S. imports from China dropped 28% in 2025, according to the Tax Foundation. Kim's perspective. This is a separation of powers question worth taking seriously, no matter who occupies the White House. The Constitution gives Congress the taxing power. It says so in plain English in Article 1, Section 8. The question is not whether tariffs are good policy or bad policy. The question is whether any president of either party should be able to impose them unilaterally by declaring an emergency. If the answer is yes, then Congress has handed away one of its most fundamental powers, and justice is right that we may never get it back. That is a principle that matters regardless of who sits in the Oval Office.